want to welcome everybody that's in the room, and I want to welcome everybody that's tuning in online. It's so good to have and to host you guys. For those of you that are going to watch the playback of this on YouTube, right, so you're not streaming live, you just started on like a Tuesday afternoon, I find it a little bit funny, and I love it that Miss Cynthia, who just hosted news, so again, you don't see this on the playback, but Miss Cynthia just hosted news, and I love when she starts and she said, "Hey everybody, I'm Cynthia, and I serve on the worship team." And what I chuckle is because Cynthia can just pick any team we have, just any of them, and she can be like, "I serve there," and it would be true. And that's true for a lot of people in our church, but it's especially true for her. She serves all over the place. She has an incredible heart, and I love, love, love being able to serve alongside of her. But I want to reiterate something that she talked about in our news, and I really want even our online audience to hear this, is the emphasis on life groups. The semester will begin next Sunday, and I really want to encourage you guys. I want to say it like this, and I want you to really hear my heart on this, that what we do in our events like a church service is good. I love it. Honestly, this is important to me. I do everything in my power to make this as excellent for everybody that's here as possible, but I'm telling you something. We're good in rows. We're better in circles. And here, let me say something that some people are going to amen that have experienced this, that I'm telling you, life change happens in relationships. And Sundays are good, and messages are good, and worship is good. And I'm not trying to detract from any of that's value in our lives, but I'm telling you, some of you guys are coming into church on a Sunday morning, and you're getting an infusion of inspiration and hope and energy, and you're like, woo, and then you leave church, and you fight all week alone. And I'm just telling you, that's dangerous. You got people sitting around you that love you more than you can imagine. I'm telling you right now. So if you are not in a group, looking for a group, considering a group, I'm here to say, I think it's foolish. I just do. If it's in your heart to consider hosting a group, that, hey, I don't want to lead it, but I'll open my home up to a group of people to come here, that is an option for you. If you're considering leading a group, I would encourage you at 11:45 in our kids' campus next door to this building to go and be a part of life group leadership training today. Go figure it out and find out what it's all about. You almost got trained right there in news, ESPN. It's that simple. If you can do that, you can host, you can lead a group, you can co-lead a life group, or you can attend a life group. Do you see all the opportunities? What I'm trying to preach to you right now is that relationships matter more than anything else. They matter. They matter. And if you are in the fight of life and you're fighting alone, you're in a bad spot. But if you can get around people that'll pray for you and encourage you and lift you up, I'm telling you, it's just what we all need. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. It's true. And so I just wanted to plug it. I wanted to push it. I wanted to emphasize it because relationships matter, and this is how we generate relationships among us. So you may not ever meet the person that sits way on the opposite side of the auditorium from you on a Sunday, but you may meet them in a life group, and it could be a game-changing, life-changing friendship that you've been needing your whole life. And so find a group, find a group. Find a group. Say amen, everybody. All right. Excellent. Hey, before I get into the third installment of a message series that we're in, I also want to encourage you something. On Labor Day weekend, starting September the 4th, we're going to start a brand new message series here at our church, and we're going to be calling that series Broken Vessels. And here's what I want you to know. If you know someone who's far from God, if you know someone, maybe they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you know somebody who maybe they are the type of person that has a lot of self-deprecating thoughts, right? Like they sort of write themselves off all the time. They're not good enough. And maybe they have an inner battle that's going on the inside of them where they just feel like they don't ever measure up. Maybe you know someone who has experienced some church hurt, that maybe they've had a church do some things that just bothered or hurt them, did some damage to their heart, to their spirit. Here's what I'm saying to you. This is a series you want to invite them to. This is a great, September is going to be an awesome month to say, you should come to church with me, you should come to church with me, you should come to church with me. And the reason is because, listen to me, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. God has this incredible habit of using broken vessels. Case in point, I stand before you. It's just how he does it, and it doesn't make sense, and if we were the bosses, we might choose otherwise, but God has this way of just taking people with flaws and issues and deficiencies all throughout their lives and saying, yeah, I choose you, and I'm going to use you to do something great in the kingdom of God for me, and I'm just telling you, you're going to find out that God has a way of using broken vessels, and the people that keep writing themselves off don't need to do that, because God wants to use you. Amen. So September, come and be a part of the Broken Vessel series. I would love to see you here. Okay, y'all ready for the message today? All right, good, good. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback, and I appreciate that. We've been teaching for 3 weeks now. This is now the third week. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I can't wait to get into today's topic. We've been in a series that we've been calling Not by Might. And there's this verse, and we're gonna start there, Zechariah chapter 4. It's where we've started every Sunday. It says, this is the Lord speaking to someone who he's asked to do something for him. And here's what he says: Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And here's what he's communicating to Zechariah. He's saying, hey, I don't really need your strategies, your talents, your strengths. Like, I'm going to use all those things, but it's really not where it's coming from. It's really going to be my Spirit that is going to do what I've called you to do. And just like Anthony said moments ago when he was communicating to us, that too oftentimes, and I'm as guilty as anyone in the room, I'm as guilty as anyone online, that too oftentimes I find myself, when it comes to my issues, my challenges, the struggles, the like, I don't know how to work this thing out, I will spend more time thinking about them, strategizing for them, trying to resolve them, than I will praying about them, and that's a problem. I really thought I queued you up. That was like the soft pitch. You guys ever go, just soft pitch. And just, that was one of those right there. I should pray more and strategize perhaps less, or at least balance the two out. Because what happens is sometimes pride enters my heart to think I should know the answer. I'm the leader. They call me pastor. I should be able to figure this out. I should, good leaders do certain things. Instead, what I should do is say, God, I don't know what to do. I need the power of your Spirit at work in me. Jesus, would you please help me? Spirit, would you in fact lead me? And that's what this series has been all about. And so we're in installment number 3 today. And if you've missed installment 1 or installment 2, those are on YouTube. You can find them on our website, cotr.live. And you can go back, you can find a podcast platforms. You can go get the content. But I'm going to summarize quickly part 1 and part 2 in one sentence each, okay? And part 1 is this. Here's basically what we communicated in the first installment, that the Holy Spirit is not an it to avoid, but a person to embrace. There's nothing to fear. The title of that message was, Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not something to be afraid of. He is a person to embrace. Amen, everybody. In week number 2, this is what we said, that the Holy Spirit gives us power to be a witness. The Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. Basically, to everywhere you go, to all the earth. Today, we're going to dig a little bit deeper. And I'm going to start us off in a message that I'm going to title Pins and Needles. Pins and Needles. So we started out with week 1, Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. Last week, we called it Swim Lessons. And this week, we're going to call it Pins and Needles. You guys remember Christmas time when you were a kid and it was Christmas Eve? And you were just on pins and needles with enthusiasm about the next morning. Oh my gosh, what is under the tree for me? Come on, most of us can understand that feeling. We can remember those moments. And we just had this excitement and this mindset of anticipation. I want to talk to you about that today in reference to the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what I want to talk about. But I'm going to give some disclaimers today that I gave last Sunday as well. And here's some of my disclaimers. The first thing that I want to say is this: that you have the complete permission today to disagree with me. It's okay. In fact, I would be shocked if people in this room, people tuning in online, didn't disagree with me. I think that people see certain things differently in Scripture. I think some things are vividly clear. I think other things are a little bit left for our interpretation. And so I want to make sure that you understand that you have the permission to disagree. I actually think that we can disagree and we still can run side by side, arm in arm, and achieve the mission that God has on our church together. I believe this with all of my heart. I also would like you to know this, that I am, because they call me pastor, that does not make me an expert. I am still a student of Scripture. In fact, I have a saying, it's an inner dialogue that I say all the time, and I say it out loud in certain contexts. I'm going to say it today. Here's what I like to say: I will die a student. I choose to learn because I recognize I need to learn. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. And I want to make sure that you understand the disclaimers today. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's all kind of opinions, denominations, different beliefs, different views, different perspectives. There's all kinds of thoughts and heavy opinions. Can I dare say it this way? That within the body of Christ, controversy about this subject. Can I also be so bold as to say, I personally, this is my opinion, I personally think that's a waste of time. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. Is that okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us back to a picture that I built for us last week if you were a part. Some of you guys will remember that I talked about a swimming pool. Now, for those that weren't with us, I'm going to recreate an image I would love for you to have in your mind. I want you to imagine a swimming pool, but not the one that's in your brother-in-law's backyard. That thing's cool and all, but I want you to imagine one on a much grander scale. It's a very, very big swimming pool. It would be big for the resort you went to that one time. It's ginormous. You got it pictured in your mind? I want you to see that on one side of the swimming pool is some stairs, and they take you into a shallow end. The pool will gradually deepen as it goes toward a deeper end. There are little areas like swim outs. You guys ever been in a little swim out where you can sit in the water, and you can be this deep and be seated in the water? There's swim outs on both sides of the swimming pool. As you get down to this side of the pool, there's like maybe some beautiful, I want you to imagine like a rock ledge. I'm just going to paint it the way I see it. There's just like this rock ledge and like a waterfall, and it's hitting into the water, and there's a slide over here that people can slide down. Maybe there's a diving board. Maybe there's some other things going on, and I just want you to imagine this pool. Can you see it? And I want you to imagine the people that are in the pool and the things that they are doing. You're going to have some people that they just want to sit in the swim out. They want to have a drink that has an umbrella in there. You know what I'm talking about? And they just, hey, I'm just here to relax, man, just having a conversation with some good friends. There are going to be some other people that just want to kind of wade around in the shallows where they can comfortably touch the ground. I want you to imagine, though, that there are other people kind of in the middle right there. They just like swimming. How many of you guys want to take my breath? How far can I go? Come on, let's have a competition. You think we can go to that side and back before we run out of breath or drown? Come on, some of you are that way. Then you got other people that they're like, I just want to jump off the waterfall. That's just my flow, man. I'm going to see if I can do a gainer into the swimming pool. Some people want to go down the slide, cannonball off the edge. But what we have is a bunch of swimmers, and what we have is them swimming different ways. And if we were at the resort and all of this stuff was permitted in this pool, none of us would be frustrated at the way people are swimming. And here's what I believe with all of my heart, that the most important thing is that people are in the pool. Let me say it this way, that we are in the Spirit. And no matter your beliefs on the Holy Spirit or how He gifts people, I have a belief that we should be, that I'm going back to last week just a little bit, baptized with the Spirit. And the synonym word that we used last week was the word immersed. And here's what I believe about the pool. Listen to me, everybody. You can immerse yourself everywhere in the pool. Some people may never jump off the rock ledge. Some people may never go down the slide, but they can be fully immersed in their swim out. And I just believe that God designed it this way. Are you with me? So let's go a little further in the conversation. And so today, here's the reason for the title of my message, Pins and Needles. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. This is the Bible, everybody. This is not Pastor Josh. This is the word of truth. And the Bible says that we should, as followers of Jesus, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So I tried to get as creative as I could, and I'm calling today's message Pins and Needles. I hope by the end of today that you and I are on pins and needles with enthusiasm about what the Spirit of God wants to do inside of our lives. I want to show you why this is important, and I want to talk about this a little more. But here's the question. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit, if for our word picture, be in the pool, if I'm going to be immersed in the Spirit of God and the things of God, if I'm going to be the type of person that says, okay, fine, I trust you, Pastor, I'm with you, I will be on pins and needles, I will eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, then I thought to myself, well, then we should answer the question, like, well, what is a spiritual gift? What is that? I did the best I could to define it in my own words. So this, again, not the Bible, just Josh's words. And here's the answer to the question, what is a spiritual gift? It's a supernatural empowerment the Holy Spirit gives each follower of Christ to help advance God's purpose in the world today. I'm going to read it again. If you're a note taker, you might want to take a picture, like a screenshot. It might help you. You might want to write this down. What is a spiritual gift? It's a supernatural empowerment the Holy Spirit gives each follower of Christ to help advance God's purpose in the world today. You guys all right? All right, I got two of you. I'm going to talk to both of you the whole time. Okay? So I want to dig a little bit today. I want to get into God's word about this subject of spiritual giftings. Now, if that's again, my best definition, okay, and I don't claim to be like the highest level intellect. I am not the smartest guy in the room, but this is my language around what a gifting is. It's a supernatural empowerment. Listen to me, if you walk with Jesus, that God wants to give you so that you can help fulfill his purpose in the earth today. I'm going to prove that to you scripturally today. But the question that I would also ask myself is like, why do I need that? Why do I need a supernatural empowerment or a spiritual gifting? And here's the best analogy that I can come up with. I talked about it just a couple of weeks ago. I want you to imagine digging with a shovel. Anybody ever dug with a shovel before? Show of hands in the room, dug with a shovel? Yeah, I spent my life as a kid doing it. Never found a shovel that fit either. Come on, anybody else? This thing don't fit my hands. You try it. And I've dug a lot of ditches, a lot of miles, I promise you, with shovels. I'm really good with it, actually. If that's a skill, I own it, okay? I'm talented with a shovel. I can do amazing things with dirt and a square-tip shovel. I don't need no spade. Leave that thing in the toolbox. Give me a square-tipped shovel, and I can move the earth. But it takes a lot of effort. I do not like it. I sweat a lot. Come on, welcome to Florida. I tend to have a little bit of shoulder pain from a football injury back in the day when I use a shovel too much. I don't prefer it, but I can do it. But I've also got a skill. I can sit on an excavator and I can dig with that too. You give me a caterpillar and I can just go to work. I know how to do that. I've got experience sitting on the controls. And let me just tell you something. It is way easier to dig on that machine than it is to dig on that shovel. And each one has their place. But what I want you to imagine is right now, you're just doing the best you can. Listen, I think God's proud of you. Way to go. I'm glad you're doing something. God blesses what we do, everybody. And we're digging. But I feel like the Holy Spirit's like, I got something for you. I got something I want you to have. You're like, really? Come on, everybody likes getting a gift. Everybody. Yeah, I got something I want you to have. What is it? What is it? It's an excavator. And when you're holding a shovel, you'll be like, dear Jesus, you can just have that. I mean, right? It's better. It's more effective. And here's what I believe is that when the Spirit of God gives us our gifts, it's like going from a shovel to an excavator. I'm still digging. It's just way easier to do, and it's far more effective. And so I want to dig into that today. And so I want you to go on a little Bible study with me if you're willing. All my scriptures are going to be on the screen behind me. But I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen, for those of you in the room that you're like, you're the type, and there are a lot of you, you're the type that you say, I am going to study this more and more like through this next week. I'm going to dig into that. I just would recommend just read 1 Corinthians 12. 13 and 14. Just read it. Just go over it in your mind. Search the scripture for yourself. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit that we've been talking about, reveals truth to us. You don't need a preacher to hear from God. Okay? The Spirit that lives inside of you will speak to you. And I would just encourage you, if you're one of those type of studiers, to go do that. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's writing a letter to a church like ours. And he's writing in reference to the Holy Spirit. And in the first verse of chapter 12, he says this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. So that brother and sisters is classifying Christian people. And I realize that might not be everybody in this room or everybody listening. That's okay. That's okay. I'm talking to those of us that are in Christ, brothers and sisters. Look what he says. I do not want you to be uninformed. Information. If you've been a part of 21 Days of Prayer the last several nights, we've been talking about that through knowledge the righteous are delivered. And we've been talking about the value of understanding the word of truth and praying the scriptures in our spiritual battles and our spiritual warfare. And what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church is that this church in Corinth, he's saying, hey, everybody, I don't want you to be uninformed. Well, I just want you to know that I'm with Paul here. Okay, I'm your pastor, and I love you, and I would like to do my best to inform you about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifting. So let's continue. We're going to read several verses this morning. So in verse 2, he says, you know that you when you were still pagans, this is BC, before Christ, right, in your life, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. And listen to me, everybody, we're all guilty of this. Now, you might be thinking, I've never bowed down to any kind of an idol, but anything other than Jesus, anything that takes the place over Christ in our lives is an idol. That's why at Church on the Rock we say, man, we want Jesus over everything. That's how you say it in the Deep South, right there. Verse 3, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. Now, this is relative to them. And then he says, and no one can say, and I emphasize here, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pause right here, because to me this is significant. This matters. And here's what Paul is saying. Like, hey, I want you to be informed. I want you to understand. It's important that we know. And then he starts talking about the conduct of our lives before Christ. But then there became this moment where we stepped into faith and we put our hope in Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to recognize that he points out. You can't even say Jesus Christ is Lord without the Holy Spirit doing that. Why does this matter? Why does this matter? I'm going to be as brief but as detailed as possible. Why does this matter? The writing of this letter was written approximately 50 to 55 years after Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. Why does that matter? Because I believe there's this thing that goes on in our minds, and I get it, because I have studied this, and I'm still studying this. But you remember, if you understand Scripture, or if you were even with us last week, you remember that verse where Jesus tells his disciples, like, he appears to them, like, he's like popping through walls and stuff. He hasn't ascended back into heaven yet. He's just like showing up on the scene, freaking people out. And then he's like, relax, it's me. You know, like I would be freaking out too. And then he tells his disciples, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to do anything until you've received the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that? It's in Acts. It's in the early story of Acts, chapters 1 and 2. And he's telling them, like, I don't want you to, don't even go. Don't do nothing because you need this empowerment. You need the excavator. You need to be empowered to do what I'm calling you to do. Don't go do it in your own might and your own power. You need to do this by my Spirit, is what Jesus was proclaiming. Now, recognize something, that Jesus was still on earth, and the idea of Christianity was a brand new thing. Jesus had just changed worship forever. The dynamics of how people would approach God in the Old Testament temple and the way they now approach God because of what Christ did on the cross is very different. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, that the veil in the temple that separated people from God's presence tore, listen to me, from top to bottom. As if God was like, we ain't doing it like this no more. We're going to change the game. And so when Jesus is interacting with his disciples and he's saying to them, I don't even want you to deploy. I need to put something inside of you. I need you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to go on this mission. This was a big deal. It was kind of like if you've ever been thrown into the pool. Like, you need to get in the water. Go. And I believe if you read Acts chapter 2, that's what happened. Every one of the people in the upper room, it was like, here we go. Trying to swim around and tread water and figure it all out. But we're 50 years past that moment where now, Jesus having ascended to the Father, there's a little bit more of a normality, and the normality is that upon receiving Christ Jesus, I also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit because I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I hope I'm making sense because I am in deep water. But I want you to, I'm doing my best to help you understand. So what's the difference between Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 12? About 50 years. Well, what's the difference between 1 Corinthians 12 and us now? A couple thousand years. But the truth is, I can't even declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior unless I have the Spirit of the living God doing that in me. So my belief is that every follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit within them. I also believe that it's the responsibility of every believer in Jesus to immerse in him. And for some of us, it's like an event, and for some of us, it's a progression. And then how we swim in this pool, some people are a little more, maybe you would consider, radical in the way they swim, while other people are what you might consider more conservative in the way that they swim. But listen to me, nobody's swimming wrong. I believe in every single gift listed in the Bible. I believe they're in play right now, today. You don't even have to agree with that, and I can still achieve the mission of our church right beside you. Amen. But I want to go deeper. Can we go deeper? Let me say this. I want to go further, because you might be like, hey, whoa, I'm in a swim out. That's cool. We'll go further. You don't have to go deeper. We'll just go further. All right, let's go to verse 4. I want you to recognize something. I'm just trying to let the Word of God speak for itself today. The Apostle Paul says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Verse 6, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Are you seeing this? Hey, there's different stuff. In other words, if we go back to the swimming pool, it's different. Depending on where you are in this water, it is different. But it is the same pool. It's the same water. It's the same Spirit. And while some of you love the diving board, some of you are like, I ain't ever going to the diving board. Some of you will never go to the deep end because maybe God didn't ask you to swim that way. Are you with me? Why? Because the Holy Spirit imparts these gifts to us as he sees. And so some of you, listen, can I pedal for a second? See if I got time. I'm going to try to fit this in today in our time. Some of us, our whole lives, have felt deficient because we didn't swim like other people. And I'm just here to say maybe God doesn't want you to swim that way. Maybe you've been preached to in a way that, like, you're missing out on something because you don't have a certain this or a certain that. But I'm about to show you what the Bible says about spiritual giftings, not what denominations say, not what I say as a preacher, but what the Bible says about this subject is what I'm about to reveal to you, because I believe that you can immerse in the Spirit, you can be baptized with the Spirit all over this pool from anywhere. Let's go further. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 7. Watch this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I just want you to recognize why do I need this? Well, we've been called to serve. We've been called to help. Verse 8, I'm gonna dig a little bit. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Can I pause right there? I see in Scripture that every single follower of Christ gets a measure of faith. You have faith. But I also see right here that some of us get a gift of faith, which means yours is like supersized. We want your faith. We wish we had faith like you. Because you're just the kind of person that's like, man, when I'm feeling weak, I need to get around you, because you've got a gifting of faith. Your faith inspires my faith. Your faith grows my faith. Your faith, because I'm partnered with you in my journey of faith, will carry me across areas of doubt in my own life, because I'm walking beside you, and your gifting is digging for me. Are you with me, everybody? All right, we'll continue verse 10. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Some of you guys are right there sitting like, I could do this better than Josh. I know, right? It's your gift. I know what you're thinking. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown language. Can I just clarify the New King James? In tongues. That's a gift. While others is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Verse 11, here we go. You ready? It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. That is the Bible. That is not an opinion. He alone decides, not Pastor Josh, not the other preachers, not the other pastors, not denominations, not how I feel about something, not how my uncle taught it to me. The Holy Spirit decides what to give each person. He alone decides, and he alone distributes. Can I say it like this? Can we just trust the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God? I have a feeling he knows better than I do. I just have that inclination that, God, I think you know better than me. And I think you know what you're doing. And I think you know how to piece your church together so that your strength supports my weakness and vice versa. I believe that we can trust God to gift us, to empower us, to call us, to lead us. And then when we take those giftings and we puzzle them together, we get the most beautiful picture that I think history will ever see. The church, a spotless bride preparing for her groom. That's us, everybody. So, why pins and needles? Pastor Josh, okay, I've heard your case. And even if you disagree, I've heard it. I got you. But why? Why should I eagerly desire anything from God? Why should I be on pins and needles? I have two reasons for you. Number one, because the Holy Spirit has a gift for you. Everybody likes getting gifts. Everybody. And I will unapologetically, boldly say, the Holy Spirit, he has a gift for you. He wants to give you your own version of the excavator. You know what I'm saying? He wants to empower you to do things beyond what you'll ever do in your own strength. It is not by might. It is not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And then secondly, because your gift makes a difference in the lives of others. That's why. That's why you should be on pins and needles, Church on the Rock. This is why we shouldn't stiff-arm the Holy Spirit. This is why we shouldn't be uninformed. This is why we should embrace all that he has for us. This is why we should be okay to swim where we are in the pool and then, listen to me, go to a different spot in the pool should he ask us to. This is why we shouldn't judge how other people swim because of our preference on swimming. Because the Holy Spirit has determined how to gift and empower his church. And when we trust him and we operate on what we've been gifted to do, it helps other people. I'm going to close right here. 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you're in All Access Step 3 today, you're going to hear me read this verse again. It says this: each of you should use whatever gift you've received. Whatever gift. You should use it to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Can I just pontificate here for a second? Each of us should use. I love the language of the Bible here. Each of us should use whatever gift you've received as stewards of this gift we begin. Why? Because it serves people. I should get somebody on keys, or I'm gonna preach longer than I should. But. Listen to me, because if I'm using my gift to serve me, that damages others. But if I'm using my gift to serve you, it builds the body of Christ. Is that making sense, everybody? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around just for a moment. I believe that I've probably challenged some belief systems in our church. And I just want to say respectfully that I'm okay to have done that. And I would love for you to just search the scripture for yourself. And if at the end of the day you say, Pastor Josh, I just completely disagree with your approach or perspective or thoughts on this, I would say, okay, that's no problem. That's no problem. I would love for us to major on major things like Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. That's important. If we can stand on that, man, we can overcome a lot of things. And if we disagree on minor things like interpretations on certain portions of Scripture, I think that's okay. That's why our church is non-denominational. That's why. That's the reason. We can disagree and still serve together. And here's what I want to do. I want to pray. I'm going to pray twice. I've been doing this each week of this series. I'm going to pray two times. And I want to pray first for you, the follower of Jesus. And I recognize that may not be everybody in the room or everybody listening. But I'm going to start there. I want to pray that you would simply open up your heart and be on pins and needles about embracing the person of the Holy Spirit, receiving the gift that he has for you. I'm just going to pray that for you. That's it. Father, I pray for every single person in our church that calls you their Lord and their Savior. Father God, we recognize who you are, our Father, Jesus. We recognize who you are, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Father, for seeing the big picture and sending Jesus to die for our sins, to conquer death, hell, and the grave, and to take us into a personal relationship with you, tearing the veil from the very top to the bottom. We thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to the cross, that in the garden you said, it's not my will, but yours be done, Father, and you were obedient even unto death. And while we were still sinners, you died for us. Thank you, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, the gift that is deposited in us, the new temple of your Spirit. We thank you for speaking the words of truth. We thank you for giving us gifts. We thank you for empowering us to do the things that we could never do on our own. We thank you for giving us a passion, a desire, and ability to serve other people and to advance your purpose in the world today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray that every single one of us, Father, myself included, would open our hearts, open our minds to the person of the Holy Spirit and his place in our lives. We are on pins and needles with anticipation about the gift you want to give to us. Help us not to push you back, but to embrace you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, can I ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes one more time? Because now I want to talk to a different person listening to this message. And maybe you're in this room or tuning in online, listening to a podcast, whatever, however you're receiving this message. I want to talk to those of us in the room that maybe you are far from God. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I'm talking to you. Maybe you have, but there's such a distance. There's such a disconnect between your relationship with God that you say, man, I just want to know him again. I just need to be close to God again. Let me tell you something. He is in that business. He's all about it. And I just want to communicate to you for just a moment. And I just want to simply say, would you just open up your heart to receive him again? Would you open up your heart to receive Jesus perhaps for the very first time? I promise you it's the greatest decision you will ever make. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to make a decision right there where you are that says, yes, God, I'm reconnecting to you. Or yes, God, I'm stepping into a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, for the very first time. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to repeat a prayer after me. Our whole church family is going to join you so that you can say it out loud and with confidence. Here we go. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and congratulate those that made life-change decisions. Congratulations to you.